The following podcast contains strong language and adult themes and is intended for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Hanky Digital presents The Skin. Show me what lies beneath. An audiobook podcast by Christian Heinke. Chapter 15. Better Days. Catherine first met Andy in a musty dorm room on the campus of Yale University. But before this fateful encounter could occur, Catherine had to stop breathing. She swam in the darkness of pain. From afar, she felt a gentle caress on her cheek. She heard a muffled voice, reminiscent of a distorted phone line, whispering, "Hey." The pitch of the voice was somewhat shrill. Did she recognize this voice? It felt familiar. Oh yes, that's right. She had to give the voice a blowjob on this chaotic evening. A soft touch, like a breath of air, grazed Catherine's face.
What had she taken again?
She needed to remember it with absolute certainty, no matter what it was.
"Hey, wake the hell up!"
Blowjob barked. Now his voice was cracking like a teenager's.
Wait a minute, had she sunk that low already? No way.
Blowjob had claimed to be a student. Students no longer had a say. She couldn't be sure.
Oh, shit. Come on, wake up, bitch. Shit, shit, shit.
Catherine had to smile. She let out a sigh. No big deal. But then she stopped breathing. Her body simply didn't think about it anymore. Her breath came to a halt. Andy strolled across campus with Francis. They had met in the library. He didn't know that Francis, who went by Fran, was already in love with him. A boy ran toward them.
"Move over!"
he shouted, pushing Fran aside.
"Hey!"
Andy shouted angrily. The boy ignored him and ran off, disappearing into one of the student houses.
"Well, wait!"
Andy called as he ran after him.
"Leave it, Andy!"
Fran shouted.
"That guy needs to apologize to you!"
he called back. Years later, when they were already married, she told him that in that moment, she felt she would lose him for a long time. Andy heard loud music in the hallway. The sound emanated from the room where the boy had disappeared.
A French chanson. No, the French chanson. Edith Piaf told the world that she had no regrets.
Andy peeked into the room. A girl lay on a narrow bed. She was only wearing panties, and would have been stunningly beautiful if she hadn't looked so lifeless. The boy sat on the floor next to the bed, crying.
"What happened?"
Andy asked, his anger forgotten.
"Kathy." The boy whimpered. "I think she's dead."
Andy climbed over the pile of despair to reach the bedside. The young woman was indeed not breathing. He felt for her pulse. Nothing. He leaned over her and caught a pungent smell of vomit. He opened her mouth and cleared it out with two fingers. Then he gritted his teeth with a sigh and began mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
Catherine felt a breeze. Was it that blowjob again? No. This breeze was different. It hurt. It felt like an explosion inside her, as if someone were trying to crank the little engine in her chest. No, I don't want to. I want to stay here. But the wind picked up into a gust and tore a bright spot in the darkness. Catherine noticed how she drifted toward the light. "No, no, no!" she shouted silently.
The girl opened her eyes and said something Andy couldn't understand over the loud music. Andy picked up a shoe from the floor and threw it toward the stereo. The music of Paris fell silent.
Why did you do that?
The girl asked. Andy frowned.
Edith Piaf is only played at funerals. I see,
Catherine replied curtly, then coughed up the rest of her vomit on Andy. It was love at first sight.
The pain erupted on her skin.
Catherine opened her eyes. The killer stood in front of her, holding a strip of duct tape. Her eyebrow hairs clung to it.
Hello, Catherine,
he greeted her. Now he was so close that she could see his mask, which appeared to be made of skin from different people. Catherine's eyes widened as she realized he was wearing the skin of Mia, Anu, and all the others.
Do you like it? Do you like my skin?
He asked, rubbing it against her cheek. The acrid smell of decay filled Catherine's nostrils. She had to pull herself together to avoid vomiting.
Oh my goddess, all the hardship, all the effort was worth it. Now we're here, together,
he gasped, running his hands over her naked body. Catherine felt the urge to scream, but her mouth remained taped shut.
Yes, the skin suits you so much better. You truly deserve it, my goddess. What on earth did he mean by that?
She looked at him.
My goddess, do you not know? What don't I know?
His breath inflated the mask, revealing dazzling white teeth.
You ennoble me with the grace bestowed upon me to accept my humble gift.
Catherine still didn't understand.
You wear my skin, goddess.
No, no.
Your new beauty, your new life without the pain. You have only me to thank for that.
Oh, God,
Catherine thought, then screamed. Helen regained consciousness. The heat was suffocating. She was lying on her stomach, and when she tried to turn onto her back, she realized her arms and legs were bound. Her head throbbed with pain.
Why was it so hot in here?
She looked around. The room was dark and damp. A wooden floor.
A sauna.
She crawled, bumping into a wall.
No, it wasn't a wall.
A slit appeared. A door. Somehow, Helen managed to turn onto her back and braced her feet against the door with all her strength. It was locked. So she was lying tied up in a dark, hot, locked room.
Great. Just great.
The panic didn't wash over her like a wave. It hit her like a giant fist.
Don't,
she gasped, pressing her feet against the door again.
Pull yourself together.
She wasn't buried. She wasn't in New York. Mendez wasn't lying a few feet away, crushed beyond recognition by hundreds of tons of concrete and steel. A small, oppressive room trapped her, and it felt uncomfortably warm. Her breathing was rapid and uneven.
You're panting like a dog in summer. You're experiencing hyperventilation. You're on the verge of losing consciousness. In this heat, you won't be able to regain it. That's it, then.
No.
Yes.
Then it's over. So pull yourself together. What did Rico always say?
You mean before he was crushed by Tower One?
Yes, exactly. Before he was crushed.
What did he say?
Never get involved with your partner? Maybe I should have fucked Davis too. It didn't help him that I didn't. Now he's dead too. Funny.
Come on, Helen. What did he always say?
You mean in bed?
In bed, if you like.
He said I was as agile as a cat.
That's right.
Her vision blurred for a moment.
Yes, good. As agile as a cat. Then act like one. Your arms and legs are tied.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. You're as agile as a cat. Even with your arms tied behind your back, you still know. Put your legs up and slip your arms through.
She tightened her legs and pulled her arms over her legs. She tore the tape off her wrists with her teeth. Undoing the leg restraints was child's play. Helen was breathing a little more shallowly now. She felt dizzy again.
Now the door.
It was a wooden door with a small square window. She wiped the steamed up pain.
There must be something blocking the outside of the door. And now? That could be a problem, though.
Well, you don't say.
Helen felt another wave of dizziness wash over her. After Andy had saved Catherine's life on a narrow, unfamiliar student bed, it wasn't long before she found her way into his bed. For the sake of comfort, however, the two of them usually preferred the more spacious lounger, in Catherine's loft. One night, she awoke in that bed. Next to her was her lifesaver, who loved her for more than just her flawless body. Andy Peterson loved her for who she truly was.
But that can't be right, can it? How can Andy love something that doesn't exist?
The pain asked her.
Was she just an empty shell? At least that's how she felt.
The pain was right. She belonged only to him. The young man next to her loved an illusion. Nothing more.
Haven't I always told you?
Catherine wept.
Say it.
Andy turned in his sleep. Catherine bit her lip.
Say it. You're right.
She whispered then, sobbing.
You were always right.
Catherine looked at her bound arms. They were still flawless. Hardly any moles, no pustules, just a slender fuzz of hair. Should this skin belong to someone else? She tried to remember the procedures at Professor Winter's clinic, but she couldn't. All impressions seemed to have vanished into the dark maw of pain.
Was it true? Was she now wearing an alien shell? But if that were the case, did she still exist at all? An empty shell without substance was nothing. And then all the pain, all the death, all the murder that this madman had committed in her name
would have been for nothing. Gravel kicked up as Andy brought the car to a stop in the driveway. He got out and looked around. He spotted a track on the ground. Someone had dragged something past the main house toward the boathouse, something that was bleeding.
No,
he thought.
Please, no. Not Catherine.
The wind carried a woman's voice from the boathouse, but it did not belong to Catherine.
It belonged to Edith Piaf.
The killer switched on the iPod, plugged into a small stereo system, and Edith Piaf began to sing. Catherine remembered hearing that very song the night at Yale when she first met Andy. The killer swayed his hands in time with the music. Then he turned to Catherine.
A good choice, my goddess. How did he know about the chanson?
Then she remembered. During one of her early interviews, she had expressed her love for the song. This madman thought he knew everything about her. But he didn't. She looked down at her naked body and laughed. The killer paused, turned to her, and looked at her in amazement.
What's so funny, my goddess?
He asked. She shook her head. She just couldn't stop laughing. The killer straightened his shoulders. He looked taller, more confident, and more vicious.
Stop it. Stop it now,
he shouted. Catherine laughed and laughed.
Shut up.
He slapped her hard across the face, and, as if afraid of his own courage, he ducked. He looked completely different, frightened and submissive.
Forgive me, my goddess,
whispered the submissive.
I understand. You just wanted to test me. You wanted to see if I could keep my anger in check. Forgive me. I am not a goddess,
Catherine declared calmly. He turned away as if her words caused him physical pain.
Please, don't talk like that.
She looked at him.
Don't you understand? I am nothing. You did all this for nothing. Don't talk like that,
he shouted again.
But it's the truth. I am nothing. Even my skin is no longer my own.
The self-confident one chuckled.
But that's the point, darling. At first, I didn't understand why Winter took my skin and gave it to you. But eventually, I understood.
He waited for her reaction.
Come on, sweetheart. Ask me what I understood.
Before Catherine could even open her mouth, the submissive answered the confident's question.
It's about renewal.
The confident nodded, emphasizing the syllables with relish.
Renewal. The transition to a new state. Do you understand, darling? I was not worthy of my skin. Only a goddess was. I'm not a...
Hush! The confident one yelled, slapping Catherine across the face again.
You are a goddess. You just don't know it yet. What do you mean?
The confident made a gesture that seemed to say, watch out. He picked something up from the floor. Catherine realized it was a container of gasoline.
Renewal,
the submissive announced shyly.
Avec mes souvenirs, j'ai allumé le feu, sang Edith Piaf for the umpteenth time. I lit the fire with my memories,
Catherine translated in her mind.
Yes.
She understood. She understood all too well. Andy followed the bloody trail to the long walkway that led to the boathouse, which ended just before that.
No. Oh no.
Like two weary temple guards, two corpses leaned to the left and right of the front door. The one on the left was Davis, the cop from New York. The body on the right was a woman. At first, Andy didn't recognize her. No. His mind didn't want to recognize her. Jamie was the one. He rushed over to the two of them. First, he checked for a pulse in Jamie, then in Davis, to no avail. He turned back to Jamie. Her face and hair were covered in blood, her intestines spilling from a wound like stuffing from a burst sofa cushion. Her eyes were fixed and lifeless, staring at Andy in horror.
Oh, poor Jamie.
He closed her eyelids. An incredible rage surged inside him, preventing him from succumbing to despair. Although he didn't know if Catherine was still alive, he resolved at that moment to kill Parker Daly.
God, that bastard deserved to die.
And he would kill him, not just for Catherine, but for all those unfortunate victims, like Jamie and Davis. The acrid fumes penetrated Catherine's mucous membranes as the killer spread gasoline around the boathouse. Then he tossed the empty canister aside and approached her. He stood before her, his gaze fixed intently on her. Then he began to pull the mask off his head, just a little further. And she would finally see his face. She held her breath and closed her eyes for a brief moment. When she opened them again, she looked into an attractive male face. Smooth, even skin with a Mediterranean complexion, cold blue eyes, a straight nose, a delicate chin, perfect teeth, and dark hair. Catherine had expected a disfigured face, but this man was very handsome. She started to cry.
Now, now,
the killer said, sounding like he was comforting a small child.
Why is the goddess crying? You're beautiful,
she sobbed.
Then why? If you're so beautiful, why? Why?
Her voice faltered. He took one of her tears on his finger and licked it off with relish.
Do I have to answer that for you right now? You should be able to see what I'm really like.
She blinked and looked him in the eye. Even though his exterior was as flawless as hers, for a brief moment, Catherine could see his true form behind that neat facade. Nothing was smooth or even anymore, but furrowed, festering, and covered in burned ridges and bumps. And suddenly, nothing about him seemed real. No part of his perfect face matched the others. His beauty melted like hot wax. Catherine thought of the portrait of Dorian Gray, or one of the Hiroshima radiation victims.
Winter gave you my burned skin,
she whispered.
That's why they found my DNA at the crime scene.
Exactly. But Professor Winter was generous. After my skin worked so well on you, he used the same procedure again to restore your old skin.
He grinned and asked,
So, can we move on now?
Catherine didn't respond.
I'll take your silence as a yes.
He lifted the skin mask and slid it over Catherine's face.
Don't, please don't.
Catherine's stomach clenched. Even though the gasoline fumes had dulled her sense of smell, she detected the unbearable, sweet, warm stench of the mask. She began to gag, desperately trying to hold her breath, on the verge of vomiting into the stinking mask. Then she felt something sharp cut into her chest. Catherine cried out in pain.
Don't,
she begged, her whole body shaking.
My goddess,
the killer said softly,
I will eat your heart and burn your body. Then we will be one, and the renewal will be perfect.
He pressed the knife harder against her chest. Catherine felt blood oozing from the wound. But suddenly he pulled the knife back and asked,
Did you hear that too?
What? What?
She stuttered, close to fainting, trying to make out something through the narrow slits of the mask. She turned her head to the side as best she could. Silence enveloped her and the dock, filling the entire lower level of the boathouse. The killer had vanished. An outside staircase on the lake side of the boathouse led up to the second floor, where the spa area was located. A bathroom featured both a jacuzzi whirlpool and a finished sauna. The door to the sauna was blocked by a chair. Andy was about to push it aside when he suddenly heard a hammering sound coming from within. He jumped in shock and scanned the room for a weapon, but found nothing.
Damn it! Let me out of here!
Shouted a high-pitched voice.
Helen?
Andy kicked the wedged chair aside. The sauna door flew open, and Helen stumbled into his arms. They lost their balance and fell to the floor.
Are you all right?
Andy asked.
I'm fine,
replied Helen, who was lying with her head on his stomach. She was sweaty, her clothes damp.
Have you seen Davis?
She asked.
He's dead, just like Jamie.
Who's Jamie?
My secretary. Daly killed them both.
Helen closed her eyes and cursed in Italian. Then she rolled off him and tried to stand up. She staggered, took a deep breath, and forced herself to calm down.
What about Miss Williams? Where is she?
She asked.
I don't know. Probably down at the dock.
All right. I need a gun.
Helen looked around and suddenly froze. The small staircase leading down to the dock creaked. Helen and Andy exchanged glances. Daly crawled up the stairs. He had pocketed his knife. The policewoman's pistol seemed more appropriate in this situation. Everything in the wellness area looked just as it had before. The chair still blocked the door to the sauna. With his gun drawn, Daly peered through the window. The policewoman lay motionless on the floor. She might even be dead. He would deal with her later. She had tried to free herself. The chair had shifted slightly. Daly wedged it back into place. Well, she hadn't managed to escape. That must have been the sound he heard, the thud of her body hitting the wooden floor as she fell. But then why did he have such a strange feeling? Andy stood on the outside stairs, pressed against the wall, and listened. Daly had to be outside the sauna door by now.
Come on, Helen. Come on,
Andy urged her in his mind. But he heard nothing except a strange noise. It took him a moment to comprehend the source of the sound. Wood being dragged across the ceramic tiles of the bathroom floor. Damn. The chair, Andy realized. That's what it was. Daly had jammed the chair back under the door handle. That's why Helen couldn't push the sauna door open and surprise the pig. Andy tensed his muscles and stormed into the bathroom. But before he could pounce on Daly, he raised his gun and fired. Helen heard the shot ring out.
Shit.
Daly must have noticed something. She jumped up and slammed her body against the door with all her strength. It was no use. She tried again, but the door wouldn't budge. Through the window, she saw Andy struggling with Daly over the gun. They looked like two dancers unable to decide who should lead. If she hadn't known it was a fight to the death, she might have laughed. The barrel of the gun swung in her direction. She ducked as another shot fired, the bullet embedding itself in the door. Andy stumbled backward, dragging Daly with him, and they both tumbled down the narrow staircase. Helen threw herself against the door once more, but this time she refused to give up.
The window,
she remembered. She struck it with her elbow. The thick glass shattered only after her third hit. Standing on her tiptoes, she reached out and began to shake the chair just within her grasp.
Come on, you damn thing,
she cursed.
How long could Andy hold off the killer? Shit, he's probably dead by now.
In a nightmarish scene, Catherine watched as Andy and Daly tumbled down the stairs, wrestling with each other. Andy held on to Daly's hand, where a gun rested. With a sudden twist, he managed to force the killer's arm aside, causing the gun to clatter to the floorboards. But before Andy could reach it, Daly kicked it away. In a swift motion, he grabbed Andy, and together they plunged into the icy water.
Andy!
Catherine screamed.
He taught.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Heinke Digital audiobook podcasts and its author, Christian Heinke, please visit heinke.digital.